Manx Radio's update with Christian Jones.
Faster Mike, good afternoon. It's 5 o'clock on Wednesday, the 27th of August. I'm Christian Jones and this is Update. Welcome into 30 minutes of all the latest news, sport and travel, compiled from the resources of Manx Radio's newsroom on the way tonight. Manx Care is planning to almost wipe out the island's dental waiting list by the end of the year. Meanwhile, residents have been discussing plans for an offshore wind farm, the majority seemingly at odds with them. We'll be speaking live with the Isle of Man Green Party too, and we'll have all the latest with road racing around the island. If you want to say hello, drop me a message in the usual way. You can text WhatsApp to 166 177 or email me at studio@manxradio.com. First of all, though, let's get the latest with Siobhan Fletcher. Faster Mai.
Manx Care hopes the island's dental waiting list will be almost eliminated by the end of this financial year. It's expected to cost around an extra £700,000 each year to incentivise providers to continue the work. Melissa Pinkard is from Manx Care.
We're asking for providers to be stretching recall periods for patients. So what that means is patients, according to NICE guidance, can be seen anything between 3 months and 2 years. And we're asking for any low-risk patients, the dentist will have a conversation with them and they will stretch those recall periods.
Residents of Garth have branded Orsted's Morvannon offshore wind farm project as insanity and ridiculous. The commissioners held a public meeting last night to gauge the views of residents before submitting its own response to the consultation. The Department of Education, Sport and Culture has announced a brand new menu to be served in canteens from September. As well as featuring four times more fresh Manx produce, the amount of ultra-processed food has been cut and dessert swapped for fruit and milk. And roads around the TT course will close at 6 o'clock ahead of tonight's contingency session. In order for all classes and categories to have the chance to race, Friday's schedule will feature a rescheduled historic junior race, historic senior race and the senior classic TT. Further afield, there are reports three people have died, including a suspect, in a shooting at a Catholic primary school in the US state of Minnesota. A Justice Department official says 20 others are injured on what was the first week of classes in Minneapolis. Donald Trump says he's been fully briefed. One witness who lives nearby says he believes up to 50 shots would have been fired in over 3 minutes.
All the windows of our home were open. I know what gunfire sounds like. I was shocked. I said there's no way that that could be gunfire. There was so much of it. So it was sporadic. So it was a semi-automatic. It seemed like a rifle. It certainly didn't sound like a handgun.
Dozens of cancer charities are warning there could be more than 6 million new cases of the disease in England in the next 15 years. And thousands of people in Spain have taken to the streets to throw tomatoes at each other. It's part of the country's annual festival held near Valencia. They're your headlines, news at 6.
World-class racing has returned to our island. Make a pit stop at your local Tesco and pick up crowd-pleasing bites, drinks and camping must-haves. Tesco, every little helps.
Kurumaya, thank you very much for that. Siobhan, let's take a look at the weather now, brought to you by Manx Glass and Glazing. This evening will be generally dry with sunny or clear spells and moderate to fresh southwest winds. Risk of the odd shower overnight as temperatures fall to 13 degrees Celsius. But quite a cloudy day tomorrow with scattered showers, those possibly becoming more prolonged and intense at times. Moderate to fresh southwest winds, which will strengthen later in the day, and top temperature of 18 degrees Celsius.
Manx Glass and Glazing can supply and install single, double and triple glazing. Call 674573 or visit the showroom on the Snugborough Trading Estate.
Simply Income Protection from Kestrel Insurance, a choice of benefits. Simple underwriting and peace of mind with a regular income for up to 2 years if you're unable to work due to illness or injury. Kestrel Insurance is registered with the Isle of Man Financial Services Authority.
Carpetland, the carpet specialist with the island's best value carpets in stock, often fitted within a week. Furnitureland, for three-piece suites, dining and living room furniture, and a selection of amazing beds. Carpetland and Furnitureland, West Street, Ramsey.
Manx Mobility in Onchan have it all. Daily living aids, wide-fitting shoes, rise recliners, beds and scooters, including lightweight and airline-approved models. Call in and see how our expert team can make your life easier. Manx Mobility at the top of Summer Hill.
The exclusive Karcher store is open with thousands of products, accessories and parts in stock. For Karcher sales and service, Hersham Electrical, Shipyard Industrial Estate, Ramsey.
You're listening to the Isle of Man's quintessential daily news and current affairs roundup. Update on Manx Radio.
5 minutes past five on Manx Radio's update. Welcome to the programme. A public meeting was held last night for residents to discuss proposals for an offshore wind farm. The Council of Ministers has accepted an application, the first of its kind, from Ørsted to place 87 turbines 12 miles off the east coast of the island, running from Mackold through to Onchan. Gulf commissioners hosted the event, which saw a number of people turn up and expressed their thoughts. With this report is our local Democracy reporter, Emma Draper.
Most of the residents in attendance were against the proposal from Ørsted, saying it would ruin the view over the sea, Laxey would no longer be a seaside destination, as well as worries that Ørsted is in financial difficulty.
I was concerned primarily at the fact that the Isle of Man as an independent state was going to allow another country, a Danish company, representing effectively the UK national grid, to build a wind farm in our territorial waters. And I don't believe there's anywhere else in the world where a country, a sovereign state, has allowed another sovereign state to build such a structure in their territorial waters for all of the energy to go to that other state. It seems bizarre and mad to me.
I'm in favour because I'm deeply concerned over the issues of the climate change, the result of greenhouse gas emissions, and the biodiversity loss crises. There is no perfect solution, but we have to take a responsibility as a nation and our place internationally to tackle these really important issues of our time.
Well, yes, energy is really important to all of us, but how we generate it can lead us into a place of huge vulnerability. The problem with the current Ørsted proposals is that it's got massive impact, and yet it's not really for us on the Isle of Man. Most of the energy planned to be shipped to the UK, and yet we are compromising our visual estate, our seabed and navigation estate, and most especially our tourist industry.
Chair of Gulf Commissioners Stan Rysak said he was pleased at the number of people who turned up to share their views about the application. He added that the local authorities' next steps would be to collect what was said at the meeting and compile a response to the application.
One of the biggest concerns, I think, is they keep talking about off Mackled Head. It is quite obvious it's not just Mackled Head. It goes right down to Onchan. If that's the case, it's the whole east coast of our island. It will have a massive impact on that.
And how are you going to use these views then going forward? Obviously, you guys called the meeting to inform your opinion for the consultation and for when the application came to you guys. So what are you going to do now?
Well, obviously, we'll take it back. We'll discuss what we thought the outcome of the meeting was. I think there was about 70 or 80 people voted against it, and about two or three voted for it. We've had a couple of emails come into the office in favour of it. We've also had a couple of emails in the office against it.
As the Chair of Gulf Commissioner Stan Rysak speaking there. Well, a Gulf MHK who was there says he's also against Ørsted's proposals because of the impact on shipping routes, wildlife and the island's biosphere status. Here's Andrew Smith.
Next year I've been here 40 years on the Isle of Man, so I've invested, you know, my whole life in it. And although obviously I'm not Manx, I just believe that it's important that we protect what everybody says is so beautiful about the Isle of Man. We've got this biosphere status, etc., etc. And I look at, and I'm thankful for Kiri coming to see us here tonight and what they're experiencing at Eyre Stain. And I've tried to put that into perspective of what they're doing on land there and think of how many times that will be multiplied on the seabed and the ecology of the seabed, not to mention the shipping routes that may have to be diverted as a consequence, and just the general impact. And I just think many people have mentioned that tonight. And for Laxey is probably one of the busiest beaches on the island. People come to enjoy the beauty, the seascape, and I'm thinking that that's going to be very, very sadly impacted. And the other thing, as I mentioned in the meeting, regarding Ørsted, and yes, some people may say, well, they've got the government to back them, they have, but I think that in fairness, a company that's on a slippery slope, I think we have to be very careful in how we're embracing them.
That's Gulf MHK Andrew Smith speaking there. Well, as we just heard before, 70 to 80 people seemingly at odds with the plans, only a few in favour. Andrew Langer-Newton is the former leader of the Isle of Man Green Party. He's now the secretary. He's an avid supporter of renewable energy, including on and offshore wind farms. He joins us now. First of all, Andrew, thanks for joining us. I suppose the first question is, seemingly the majority of people at the meeting last night were in some way opposed to the wind farm. So if so many residents are against it, why do you think the project should go ahead at all?
So first, my Christian, yeah, and I think just brief comment. I think it's really important that we have these opportunities to go out and ventilate these important views in local democracy. And certainly there'll be a legal process now in the planning application that'll give more opportunity for people to ventilate important views. What was your, in terms of your question again, sorry, Christian.
Oh, well, just if so many residents are seemingly against it, quite a high percentage of the turnout seemed to be at odds with it. Well, why do you think the project should go ahead?
Well, I guess there's a legal process that now goes through, and it takes into account lots of different factors, the environmental factors, the legal factors, parties with interest, with status within the planning process who can oppose the application if they so wish, or support it if they so wish. So, yes, all these people can obviously give their views to the planning committee and in the planning process. But I think it's over now to the legal process. And the Isle of Man Green Party would say the renewable energy is really important in the Isle of Man. And just to comment on some of the views that were stated last night, there was questions about why it was a benefit to the Isle of Man. So firstly, it presumably it'll have some kind of financial benefit for the Isle of Man government in licensing out of the seabed. Secondly, it's generating a huge amount of renewable energy, and clearly, it was stated last night that a lot of that energy will be going to the UK, but there must be conversations going on with Manx Utilities and Ørsted as to what could come to the Isle of Man and offset our carbon emissions. So that's one aspect. That's still an open question. I'm sure I haven't seen anything clearly stated that there would be an opportunity to use the energy in the Isle of Man, but that must be still a conversation that's ongoing. And finally, there is a huge amount of renewable energy that's going to be going to the UK. In the Climate Senior and European Court of Human Rights case last year, 2024, an absolutely monumental case for climate change, there was a suggestion that if you generated renewable energy and then it went to other countries, then the renewable energy that you generated, it seems to be, it might be applicable against offsetting your carbon emissions. So I think there isn't really been a clear interpretation of that point yet, but that still could be a reasonable legal outcome, that this renewable energy, although it's going to the UK, it could still possibly offset our emissions. And we've obviously got a legal goal of net zero by 2050. If that is the case, and as I said, that's still a question at the moment on that legal status, then it might speed up the achievement to net zero in the Isle of Man.
And I'll just come to that. Obviously, there is a perception that this project is being done as a box-ticking exercise for the government rather than to genuinely help the island. What is your take on that?
Well, clearly, I don't think so, because it will be generating renewable energy. It will have some economic benefit for the Isle of Man in terms of licensing of the seabed. And we have a huge amount of carbon emissions that we would need to offset. So if that opportunity is a reality, then that would be great as well. The other point that I'd come to is the question about visual amenity that people are obviously very much concerned about. And we look across to the adjacent isle at the moment. We do already see a huge amount of wind turbines. But in a huge decision by the Minister for DEFA, Minister Barbara MHK, last week, she granted a planning approval appeal of wind turbines in Port Erin. And her decision was based on the importance of climate change commitments and the importance of renewable energy that trumps visual amenity in her decision. So I think that really sets the tone for the legal position in the Isle of Man, that renewable energy, and following many other jurisdictions and the courts in those jurisdictions, to show that this is now, we don't have any more time to talk about this. This is the time to take action in terms of putting solar panels in terms of building wind turbines and putting batteries in. And we've got this decision from Minister Barber last week, and now we've got this opportunity with Ørsted to really take real action. Putting wind turbines in is not a box-ticking exercise.
Just quickly, we've got about 30 seconds left. What impact do you think this would have on the island's reputation from a biosphere perspective if it was ultimately rejected?
would start to show some meaningful steps towards the biosphere, the important biosphere status that we have in terms of putting in real renewable energy. And actually, in Minister Barber's decision last week in the inspector's report, there was a real question about why steps hadn't been taken to put more renewable energy in. Now we have a real opportunity to show that we are taking these meaningful status and giving some real reason to our biosphere status around the renewable energy aspect.
That's Andrew Langer-Newton, Secretary of the Isle of Man Green Party, former leader. Thank you so much for joining us. And we have approached Ørsted for comment, but we're yet to hear back.
You're listening to the Isle of Man's quintessential daily news and current affairs roundup. Update on Manx Radio.
It's hoped the island's dental waiting list will be almost eliminated by the end of this financial year. Manx Care has agreed new contracts with its dental providers, enabling them to take on more NHS patients. It's expected to cost around an extra £700,000 each year to incentivise the providers to do the work. Melissa Pinkard is Manx Care's Directorate Manager for Integrated Primary Care and Therapy Services, while Claire Christian is the Health Minister.
We're asking for providers to be stretching recall periods for patients. So what that means is patients, according to NICE guidance, can be seen anything between 3 months and 2 years. And we're asking for any low-risk patients, the dentist will have a conversation with them and they will stretch those recall periods, allowing those with a high risk or who need to be seen and creating that capacity as we move forward. Their care absolutely will not suffer. So the dentist makes a clinical decision on a recall period, but that's in conjunction with the patient as well. So the patient can have the conversation with the dentist. The dentist would not want to stretch a recall period beyond what they think is clinically necessary or safe to do so. This is NICE guidance, so it's readily available on the internet. Patients can look at what that information is around it and be reassured that it's safe to be able to stretch those recall periods beyond the usual 6 months. And have that longer, anything up to 2 years actually.
If a patient wants to be seen within that recall period, they just have to call up and make an appointment. So if something happens, you know, filling or something like that, I think just to give the public the reassurance that obviously they will be seen, and that's really important.
And we have heard from some people, they have a dentist, they have an allocated dentist, they've tried to book an appointment and they've been told that actually new patients have been prioritised because they've been trying to help with the wait list. So they've had to wait for their checkup. Is that going to be something that you're expecting to see as a result of these changes?
I wouldn't expect to see that, no. What we'd expect of the providers that are taking new patients from the waiting list is that they're carefully planning that out. So for the number of patients that they take, whilst patients can't be seen immediately for their examinations, they will have access for emergency and the dental services at that practice. But we would expect the provider to space out the appointments. And in terms of the changes that we're making around stretching recall periods, they're going to create that capacity naturally by stretching recall periods for patients who are low risk, that don't need to be seen so regular, and create that space for people that do.
Manx Radio Travel, driven by Quayside Tyres and Service Centre.
Well, let's take a look around the roads. Of course, around the TT course, the roads are open at the moment. They'll be closing at 6 again, though, because that contingency session is going to be used. So roads open at the moment until 6, closing again for the evening session, and then reopening no later than 9 o'clock. Tomorrow is a rest day, though, so no road closures will be taking place. We'll take a look down the steam packet. Everything is looking all good over there and over at the airport. I'm seeing all green, so everything is looking to time. Of course, if there is anything you spot while you're out and about, do let me know. 166 177, email studio@manxradio.com.
Ask how you can spread the cost interest-free at Quayside. You're listening to the Isle of Man's quintessential daily news and current affairs roundup. Update on Manx Radio.
19 minutes past 5. School dinners are set for a shake-up this September. The Department of Education has unveiled a new menu that'll see 4 times more Manx produce used in school meals. On the menu are dishes like sweet potato and coconut curry, locally sourced steak and gravy pie and roast Manx pork, all served with salads. It also means the level of ultra-processed food has been slashed from around 50% last year to just 5% now. Lewis Foster has been speaking with the Education Minister, Daphne Kane.
Don't underestimate what an effort this has been. I'm so pleased to have the department fully behind it and officers working really diligently from the results of the survey to coordinate with all our suppliers. Suppliers revising their recipes and removing the ultra-processed ingredients in order to improve the recipes and hopefully maintaining the appeal and the good taste.
Now, we all know that school dinners have transformed over the decades. Even when I was at school, we were talking about the Jamie Oliver effect. Considering how much change is actually going to be seen come September, were you surprised at the menu we've had on offer for the last few years?
I wasn't surprised. I had my concerns. I've had concerns for a number of years over the menu that is fixed for the primary school offering. And I think when that was assessed against the NovaScale for ultra-processed content, I think it was a bit of a shock at the amount that had crept in to the everyday serving. And to reduce from 50%, over 50%, to 5% for come this September is absolutely brilliant. And to be able to do that at the same time as quadrupling the amount across our menu of locally produced food, I do hope that it is welcome. But obviously there's a little bit of caution here because it's only a positive if the primary school pupils embrace it, enjoy it, and eat it all up.
Do you think they're going to enjoy things like sweet potato and coconut curry? It's going to be possibly a bit of a challenge for some pupils.
Well, the main driver, both food waste and also high ultra-processed content, was actually white bread or garlic bread or naan bread that accompanied a lot of the food and ended up in the bin. Whereas improving the main dish, if you like, and enhancing that, things can be really flavoursome without having, you know, that those ultra-processed content like emulsifiers and preservatives and things like I don't even know what they do.
Well, that's the Education Minister, Daphne Kane, speaking with Lewis Foster. I tell you what, though, coconut curry, that sounds good. I think I'll sign up. I'll go back to school at this rate. 21 minutes past five, an Onchan commissioner says rumours about his employment in the civil service have caused him significant detriment and harassment. Scott Wilson claims accusations have been circulating in the village that he's been suspended in connection to whistleblowing disclosures made in the public interest and a management complaint in his department. With more details on this is local Democracy reporter Emma Draper.
Dr. Wilson, who joined Onchan commissioners in a by-election in 2024, said in a statement the speculation is harmful and will not be commenting on employment matters. He added that he has serious concerns about individuals who appear to claim knowledge of whistleblowing disclosures and have assumed he has been suspended. The statement also said the rumours compromise the fairness and integrity of any process to the point of being unable to proceed properly. Dr. Wilson confirmed he has reported all gossip in circulation to relevant government departments, their officers and the police. The statement was read out at its public meeting yesterday evening. He said the situation has already caused him significant detriment and harassment and also amounts to bullying, both in terms of how the information has surfaced and the way it has been circulated. Dr. Wilson also confirmed that the rumours have no bearing whatsoever on his role as a commissioner, nor on the duties he holds as a lead member for housing, and in his wider responsibilities to ratepayers and the electorate. He also claims that a politician in Tynwald has sought to involve themselves in operational matters relating to his position as a civil servant. Dr. Wilson believes this is wholly inappropriate and may amount to a breach of the Tynwald Standards and Members' Interests Code of Conduct. I contacted the clerk of Tynwald's office, which said it cannot comment on whether or not the matter has been referred to the Tynwald Standards and Members' Interest Committee.
Right, let's turn our attention to sport. And after a rest day yesterday and despite some delays today, racing returns to the Snaefell Mountain Course and the Classic TT. With two more race days left of the event, we wanted to hear from the TT Marshals Association about how its volunteers are faring. Vice Chair Andy Priestley has spoken to Darren Timpson.
I really just emphasise to people, if you can do any of the sessions that are remaining for us, and the contingencies, order contingencies, go online, book it up, pop in and see us at the marquee. It's always more difficult for us on numbers for Grand Prix because there's purely not the amount of visitors, and our marshal numbers are directly reflected by the amount of visitors. TT, obviously, with the massive influx of people, it's not so hard for us. It's always tough at the start and at the end of an event to get the numbers because we still require 580 minimum. Whether it's TT Grand Prix, that is our minimum core number. Our numbers are lower than we would hope. However, our numbers are higher than they were last. So we always have to allow for, because it's a volunteer setup, you see, you get a percentage of no-shows. Not many. Most people are brilliant. They really are. It's just asking people to plan ahead a little bit. And just it helps us, and it helps the chief sector marshals plan their sector. We can always do with a few more. A few more would be brilliant for us, just to help reinforce the marshal points that we've got. You know, because we've got 220 odd marshal points around a 37 and 3 mile course. It's some massive operation.
And they're strengthening some of the areas around the course. Are there any specific places where you're low on numbers?
We always do better in sectors 1 and 12. Because they're Douglas. And of course, a lot of visitors, if they've not got transport, they walk. So if they're walking to the points, it's easier to fill those points. Mountain, some people love it. Sector 10 on the mountain, which covers the bungalow, that's already overmanned. That's already overmanned because when good weather brings people, they don't mind going up there when it's good. It's a lot more desirable. But that sector 10's been doing really well. But in general, the other sectors, we're about minimum on them, but you know, we could do with a few more.
That's Andy Priestley from the TT Marshals Association. We'll stick with sports, tennis, cricket and racing. And the latest sport is with Darren Timpson. Fastamai,
Isle of Man tennis player Billy Harris has been knocked out of the US Open in the first round. The world number 151 was beaten by former US Open semi-finalist and 25th seed Felix Auger-Aliassime in straight sets. Despite the gulf in rankings between the two players, Harris was competitive throughout the match, forcing his Canadian opponent to save several set points during the second set tie break. It was Harris's first time playing in the tournament at Flushing Meadows. In cricket, Cronkbourne have been crowned winners of the T20 weekend premier. They beat Crosby by a resounding 9-wicket victory to take the top spot of the division after 12 games on Saturday. The Douglas side beat Peel to the title by 2 points as they finished with 17. Crosby ended the season 2 points behind the Westerners, while Finch Hill's disappointing season came to an end as they finished last with 3 points. They've been relegated to the Division 1. Elsewhere, Valcair's cricket club's first and second teams have won the T20 Wigan Division 1 and 2 titles. It was a closely fought battle for the first division title between Valcair's and Ramsey first. The contest went down to the final day, with both teams ending on 16 points. However, the Castletown-based side won the league on net run rate. This means they've been promoted to the T20 weekend premier. Meanwhile, Valcair's second 11 won the Division 2 comfortably by 7 points over Peel's second side. They will play in the T20 weekend Division 1 next season. And there will be racing in the Classic TT tonight, despite delays due to the weather today. The 2-lap lightweight Classic TT will go ahead as planned. There's also a changed Friday schedule, which you can see on manxradio.com.
Gurumaya, thank you very much for that, Darren. That's it for Update this evening. Howard Kane is up next with Spotlight. He'll be followed by Michelle Kane sitting in for Chris Kinley. I'll be back with you tomorrow, same time. So until then, take care. Bye-bye for now.